to, we are up to, let's go a little further, but then we'll come back to the We're gonna go further first, and then we'll come back to the Chaimis Anoch, the Chida, who connects this entire sugya to Shushan Habiru. So let's take a look over here at the next pasuk, Mizmor Samach. Mizmor Samach is on page. We're up to pasuk Zayin. We're up to pasuk Zayin. L'man yicholtzim yidecho shibin chavaneni. Okay, this is the famous pasuk. We say this is the end of Shemona Esrei. It's a beautiful pasuk. L'man yicholtzim yidecho, so that your beloved one should be released. What should they be released from? They should be released from their difficulties, from their tzaros. We say this again, the end of Shemona Esrei is a very powerful pasuk. We say this so many times. May Hashem release, like chalitzas hanoal. Chalitzas hanoal means to undo the shoe, to loosen the shoe straps, to loosen the shoe that is upon our on our feet. And we use it here in this context of Yecholtzim, that Hashem should release us from our difficulties. And Hoshia Yemincha, may your right hand Hashem save us, Va'aneini, and may you answer us. Why Hashem's right hand? What about Hashem's left hand? Why the hand? Why not Hashem himself? Okay, all of these things need to be discussed. Let's do a few psukim together. Elokim Dibir B'Kotshoi. Next part, Hashem has spoken B'Kotshoi in his holy place. Eloiza Achalka, I will rejoice in Hashem. Achalka Shechem, I will distribute portions. The Emek Sukkos Amadeid, the depth of Sukkos, which is the name of a place, I will measure. These are very, very mysterious what these words mean over here. Let's do one more passing, we'll do them all together today. Li Gilad Vili Menashe the Ephraim. Ma'oz Roshi, Yehuda, Lechoykeki is my lawgiver. Okay, we did three psukim. Now let's now take a look over here and how what these, let's take a look at these three psukim together. Okay, I'm doing, trying to do things at the same time. I have a hard time chewing gum and walking at the same time. I have sort of a hard time over here trying to get the computer to work. The internet over here today is in the shul. It's not working. Yesterday there was a technician here that was playing around with it. I don't know what was going on, but it seems like they made it worse and better. So we'll eventually figure it out. Okay, here we are. So let's go back over here, back to the Mitzudas David and the Pasuk. The Mitzudas David on one second again. Apologize, just trying to pashka with this.
I'm admiring David knowing so much tikduk.
Yeah.
All the binyanim here, the zmanim, it's amazing.
Of course, not David, then who? He wrote the book. Okay, he wrote the book.
He's the originator.
Yeah. Okay, let's look over here at the Mitzudos. The Mitzudah is David. Pasuk Zayin. Okay. I don't understand. Really don't get what's going on here. Beyond me. All right.
Today.
Yeah.
And Dr. Joseph
Kamenetsky. Dr. Joseph Kamenetsky is today? What do you say?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Let's see with the Mitzudas of the Mitzudas David, the Mitzudas David, and these three psukim. Starting back with Pasuk Zayin. Okay, in the Mitzudas David, Pasuk Zayin on page 524. L'man yecholtzun b'chdei sheyishol yididecha yu nechelotzin be'atzara. So that your beloved shall be, like we said, shall be released from their difficulties. L'zois. In order that your beloved, your people, Klal Yisrael, should be released from their difficulty, therefore we ask you, Hashem, Hoshia Lezos, for this, Hoshia Li, say for me, B'mincha Va'aneni. So David over here makes it a little more personal. Okay, this is not, you know, it's not, this is not and our minds, you have to ask the average person, when they say this pasuk every single day in Shemona Esrei, what exactly are they thinking? But one more time, b'chdei sheYisrael yedidecha yiryu nechelotzin, so that he puts the word. No, he look how he changes the order. How he changes the order of the words, in order that yedidecha, he goes from the first word to the third word, so that yedidecha should be yecholtzun, should be released from their difficult situations, their difficulties. Lezois, now he adds a word in, lezois, therefore, for this, Hoshia Yimincha, may your right hand bring salvation to me. Why does he have to say li? Why doesn't he say to Klal Yisrael? This, the pasuk does not say that release, that your right hand, Hashem, should release every single individual in Klal Yisrael from their private personal tzaris. Doesn't say that. He says, Hashem, release. Va'aneini, right. So that fact that it doesn't say, it says va'aneini, excellent. That's why the mitzvah stuff is coming to the word li. But then the question over here is, what is David?
Why is he turning it around?
Right.
The message that seemed to be for himself.
Exactly. When the subject is Klal Yisrael.
Yeah.
So this that we say this every single day in davening. So that Klal Yisrael should be released from their tzaras, therefore Hashem brings salvation to me. Your personal problems is not going to solve the problems of Klal Yisrael on a very simple level. If Klal Yisrael has problems, if whole Klal Yisrael is suffering problems, someone helping me today pay my bills is not going to solve the problems of Klal Yisrael. There's a civil war looming. And if Klal Yisrael is under attack all over the place, and I have a personal problem, I have a stomach ache, and I need someone to give me some medicine for my constipation, that's not going to save the problems of Klal Yisrael.
But if you ask me to save the problems of Klal Yisrael, you're included in that.
Yeah.
And you're trying to say, hey, so you're doing it for the Klal, not only for
you're them. Trying to give some very deep answers.
You want to get included with them, so...
Yeah, but
it might happen better if it's...
more often than not, the private problems of a single individual are nothing in common with the problems that we face as a nation, or even if you wanted this, everyone's private problems. You have your problem. I have my problem. One person has his main problem is he is ill. He's not well. Another person's main problem is he can't find a job. Another person has a problem with his children. Another person has a problem with the law. Okay, he's in a lot of trouble with the government.
And a blanket statement, please save us. Everybody from there.
Right, but
previous pesukim talk about Yirei Echa, Ishkisanu, and Yechalsun Yedidecha. So we see that we're talking about the cloud. All of a sudden, he switches to.
Exactly, save me. But when you look at how the mitzvah stuff it very precisely, he adds the word li to make it very clear. Everyone is saying answer. Dov, you're trying to say an answer, which we'll get to in a second, but say this pasuk every single day,
and we say it where? We say it in the private and personal message.
In the Lakai Nitzar, right? We said the end, which is, but the truth is that pasuk Yilos in the okay, that's the Yilos. Right? Okay, you're right. We said the private section. We said the private section. Okay, so we have to. Let's one thing at a time. First, let's clarify what the midst of the stuff is. He's really bringing out the problem by bringing out the tense. It says it's you know if not for the midst of this David, you maybe can answer on a. That va'aneini, it's like the collective noun. L'man yecholtzun yedidecha, even though it is a contradiction, it starts out, it doesn't say yedid, yecholetz ha-yedid. It doesn't say man yecholetz ha-yedid. Or it says yedidecha, there's two yuds. The two yuds connote, the second yud, connotes without a shadow of a doubt that it's plural. The difference between when you the possessive, or not that was the possessive. When you add a yud, like in this pasuk, yididecha, it means your beloved, the many beloved. If it would say Yididecha without a Yud, Yud Dalit, Chof, then it would mean your singular beloved. When you have a word Yididecha and you have a Yud at the end, then it means the plural. El Mashal.
Yididcha would be a singular.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. You're saying okay. Yeah. Even if we would say yididecha without a yud, I believe according to grammar, there is it's acceptable that it means your beloved, your singular beloved. Whenever yuds are very dangerous letters, it's a very dangerous letter. You change meaning between an individual and a tzibur. Example, Moreinu v'Rabeinu. Let's say people make this mistake. Moreinu v'Rabeinu, Mayor Appledorf. if you write Moreinu, Mem, Vav, Reish, Nun, Vav. That means our singular teacher, our teacher. But if you write Moreinu, Mem, Vav, Reish, Yud, Nun, Vav, that means our teachers. It's pronounced exactly the same. There's no difference in the pronunciation. Moreinu, does it mean our single teacher, or does it mean our teachers? The way we pronounce it, you cannot detect the difference in the pronunciation. The only way you can differentiate, if we're dealing with an individual, you're dealing with a tzibur, is if there is a yud. If it's Moreinu, yes. Mem, Vav, Resh, Yud, Nun, Vav, it's plural, our teachers. If there is no yud, it means our single teacher. This is a very big argument, especially in Eretz Yisrael. Israelis, they are very into adding yuds. In modern Hebrew, and even in writing, it's very common today to add a lot of yuds and a lot of vavs that don't really belong there, in order just to make it clear, to make it easier to read, because since Hebrew doesn't have dots, and it's very, very expensive. Okay, it's a lot of work to add the nekudos into a text, and you have to edit it and this and that. And even though today there are some, I use some programs that are just mind-boggling, and how you can give it a whole page of text, and in a split second, it adds all the nekudos with 98% accuracy. It's just shocking. And they also get a question: Do you want a Talmudic Nikud, or you want a modern Hebrew Nikud, they can give you a whole bunch of choices. I have it bookmarked on my phone because it's just amazing how Nikud today is all, you see a lot of Svarim today. Today a lot of Svarim are done with Nikud. You think someone went and put the dots in every single word? No way. It's done by a computer in a split second, and then an editor goes through it and goes through it very quickly to make sure that the computer didn't make that many mistakes. And it's like 98% accurate. And but there's a difference between, so today it's very popular to add a lot of yuds, because since we do not have nikud in most of our texts, in order to make it clear, so you add a yud, it somehow makes it clear, and likewise you add a lot of vavs. However, there are many times when adding a yud can totally destroy the word. Now here it's clear as day. You said over here it's yiditcha, or Chol says it's yiditcha, not yiditcha would mean a single yidit. Okay, absolutely. But here also, the fact that it says Yididecha, and there's also a Yud, to make no mistake, it means all of them. Who are all of Yididecha? Who are all the multiple people? Every single member of Klal Yisrael. And David then concludes, Hoshir Yemincha, Va'aneini, it should say Va'anehem. Va'anehem. All of them. If you're dealing with Yididecha, Hoshir Yemincha, Va'anehem, and answer them. Instead, he says, answer me. The Mitzudis David says, make no mistake, there is a change between who we're referring to, the subject in the beginning of the Pasuk and the end of the Pasuk. As he writes here, in the beginning of the Pasuk, B'chdei Yisrael, the Jewish people, Yididecha yu nechelotzin me'atzoros lezois. You know what the solution is? Solve my problems, Hashem. Hoshir li. Save me, the individual, me, li, bimincha va'aneni. Now, if you take that at a very raw face value, without looking at the bigger of Dov is coming to give some answers, and other people is, what in the world could this possibly mean? Every person in Klal Yisrael has unique difficulties in life, unique struggles, unique problems. Whether you want to go look at each individual in Klal Yisrael or you want to go look at the nation as a whole, David has his own problems, has his own personal problems. He had problems with everything in his life. Solving David's problems are not going to solve the world's problems.
On the other hand, he's the king.
So now, Ramachal, you're coming to inject some religious, a religious element to this concept, is that the lave of the melech is the lave of Klal Yisrael. The melech encompasses the entire neshama of every single person in Klal Yisrael. And indeed, every single person's stomach ache and problem with parnasa, problem with paying the bills, and problem with you name it, is all in the lave of the melech. A melech of Klal Yisrael is not just someone that gets a check and manipulates the system for his benefit at the expense of the population. The melech of Klal Yisrael is a spiritual leader, and the people look up to him, and their problems are his problem. Yeah. They're his problem, yeah. Like a Rebbe.
I pray, he should be good, he should be good, and answer my prayer, me.
The same like it's a very deep concept. It's
there's
a very
the private person and the public person.
But the melech, besides the fact that his life is an open book, okay, it's open book. I know someone, he had an issue. It was like a private issue, and he told me, he's a public figure, every single person he knows all the details. Because he's a public figure, and a public figure, you know, he's this, and like you don't have a private life. What we're talking about over here. Is that you have a public, everyone knows your problems. There's a correlation. There is the problem of the individual, because he relies upon the king feels his problem. It's his problem. And the closest thing you have like this today is like a Rebbe, a very holy Rebbe. People come to the Rebbe, they cry their heart out to him, and they ask him for brachas, and the assumption is, you are our leader, my problem is your problem. That's a real Rebbe. You have Rebbes like that today. And David, indeed, he's teaching us over here an incredible chiddush. And the way he says this is, Klal Yisrael has problems. Their problems, all of it, it's my personal problem. Hoshia Yemincha Va'aneini. Isn't that an amazing thing? Is that one person, the melech, he cares so much about all his flock that every one of their private problems becomes his personal problem. And when Hashem will save me, that's going to save everyone. And what's so shocking is that when we daven Shemona Esrei every single day, you're basically making yourself into a Rebbe. Every single person has people who rely upon him. Every single person has you have a family, you have children, you have friends. And when you daven, the whole davening is written b'lushan rabbin. The whole nusach atfilah, all the brachas. And then at the end of the davening, you come, you mention all your personal problems. Elokai nitzor lishoni meira usifosai midaber mirbavol mikalalai nafshi sida v'nafshi ke'afor lakotiyah. Psach libi b'sarasach v'mitzvasach atidof nafshi v'chol l'choshim olai ke'olai Olai upon me. Everything is b'loshen yachid. And then at the end you say, now we have to understand, appreciate, at the end you say, l'man yecholtzun yedidach. It appears if you take this mitzudas dovid, you can say whatever you want, and obviously there are many perushim, but if you take this mitzudas dovid to its natural conclusion, the way he's bringing this out, it's like a disclaimer. But the disclaimer comes at the very, very end. Normally a disclaimer is in the very beginning. Before we begin, let's make it very clear that don't be misled that when we say this, we really mean something else. Here, the disclaimer comes at the very end. Ribbono shel Olam, this that I said, all of these nice things, b'lashon yochid, it's not even referring to me. It's referring to every single person I know, every single person who relies upon me. I have a whole family. Open up their hearts in Torah. Guard their lips from speaking Lashon Hara. All the people that curse them, they keep quiet. They don't exacerbate the problem. Everything that I said for the tzibur, so you conclude leman yecholtzun yididecha hoshia yemincha va'aneini. This that I said, the entire nusach b'lushon yochid va'aneini, it's really for yididecha. But because I am so connected to my people, and I carry the weight of their problems on my shoulders, so I say it. I said everything b'lushon yochid va'aneini. But the truth is, my entire prayer, that entire paragraph that I have recited, is leman yecholtzun yididecha. Isn't that a chiddush? Isn't that a chiddush to say that's pshat in the l'kai nitzar? Is every single person at the end of Shemona Esrei is viewing himself? You have to view yourself as a leader. Okay, a leader doesn't just mean you're the president of the United States. Whatever that means. A leader means you accept responsibility for other people, even if they didn't ask you to accept responsibility for them. The fact that you are connected to your wife, to your children, to your grandchildren, and they have problems, you feel their problems. It bothers you. You always see good parents, good grandparents. If they know that their grandchild is going through a difficulty, they take it personally more than their child or grandchild. Their child or grandchild, okay, it'll be okay. Don't worry, I'm not losing sleep over this. But the grandparents are losing sleep over it. Why? Because they're good people. I brought you into this. This always haunts me, this idea. And I was brought up, I think everyone who was brought up in a world where, to different degrees, our parents, they basically said, we brought you into this world and make a life for yourself. Atkan. There's a certain, be responsible, and we gave you life.
Not the Jewish people. That's very common.
Today, now it became a new world. But years ago, now in the last 30 years, yeah. But before that, there was a certain attitude, is that parents bring you into this world, we gave you life, and really it's in the Gemara, and we'll support you until you're 6 years old. In the Gemara, you're only mechuyev to support a child until he's 6 years old. And that's it. After you're 6 years old, go fend for yourself. Go get a job. Really. That's what the Gemara says. After 6 years old, let the kid fend for himself. The parents have to go support him forever and ever and ever. And there was a certain attitude years ago, we did you a favor, we brought you into this world, we raised you, we supported you, but now make a life for yourself. We're not gonna pay for your wedding. We're not gonna pay for your college education. We're not gonna Adkan. Go take responsibility.
In the Jewish community.
It used to be in a different generation. Oh, now you're talking 2023. I'm talking over here in the 70s.
The
70s,
yeah.
It was not the way it is. No way. No way, Jose.
In the 70s, my parents expected me to pay for my wedding.
I don't know that degree, but they expected the day after your wedding, you had a...
But in the non-Jewish world, in the 70s, the parents expected the child to pay for their wedding. Between them and
the non-Jewish world is a very complicated conversation, but in the Jewish world, maybe the parents, you know, it depends on the community, but certainly after you're married, that's it, you're out of here. There's only that much I can do. And that, so there was someone here in this shir, he once said to me, and this always haunts me, so it was always his attitude, that's it, I'm not responsible for you. I did a lot more for you than my parents did for me. Okay, what I did for you is infinitely more than what my parents did for me. And you know, it's you're not going to have pleasure in life if someone's going to support you. You have to take care of yourself. It's just not good for you. So someone here once said to me, He was a very sick person. And he said to me, you know, my children, they want to come for Pesach. I remember him telling this to me. They want to come for Pesach, and you know, I'm not well. And my wife, it's very hard for my wife. And they have a lot of Baruch Shabbat children. They want to come, and they don't realize how hard it is. How much work and effort it is to, you know, make all the arrangements, even though, you know, have help, and everything is said and done. With all year, they're going to help, they're going to bring food, they can do this, everything is said and done. It's really, really very stressful and very, very difficult for myself, my wife. So he said, then he says to me, but you know something, I have to do it. And I'm going to do it. And then this really haunted me. Adhiyam Aziz says, you know why? I brought them into this world. And it's therefore my duty to make them happy. So he says to me, he says, if you bring a person into this world, that carries with it responsibility. Oh, here you are, suffer the rest of your life. He says, if I brought them into this world, and I can still do it, even though it's difficult, that's part of my duty. I just bring people into this world and throw them into the street and they should suffer?
It's a very bitter philosophy.
So,
because it goes back the other way. If all the people say, I can't have kids, it's a terrible world, I don't want to bring them into something.
Okay, so the answer is, the obvious answer, we say only balance. Obviously, elu v'elu, and there's a question of balance, where do you draw the line? To go bring people into this world with no plan whatsoever, and al derech hateva, they can have a miserable life and suffer. You know, that's not, is that really a Torah hashkafa? I don't know. You know, the Aguda, it's not a secret, the Aguda, they made this year a convention, they had, for the first time, a pre-convention. And the pre-convention was really more for women, and they brought down family planning. And they had a person speak, and this person.
Administrators from the yeshivas with the tuition.
No. It was basically, and they brought down a person to speak. They had a whole program, and one person, there was a speaker. They basically, there was a protest. They wanted to burn down the whole building, and burn down the Aguda. It's a problem anyway, because the person that one of the big presenters was a person that was very well known to advise people not to have 12 children. And everything that you do in having children and family has to be with what's called family planning. You plan exactly what time of the year you want the baby to be born. Exactly how many. Now, everything is by Hashem, of course. You know, you can't. But you should not raise a family with total hefkeres. That is very common in the Torah world.
This was a Jewish speaker coming to you?
Yes. It's not like I'm making it sound worse than it is. And a lot, there were many, many people that felt that this is completely connected to Kola Torah Kula. The Aguda didn't, obviously, because they asked them to speak. And there are people that, well, maybe there was a misunderstanding, and there was protests. There was a phone campaign, and that is, don't have children unless you know what is involved and what's the future for them. Al derech hateva. You know, obviously, no one knows. But just don't go and plan right away from the first day you're going to have 25 children and how you're going to support them. That's not my problem. That's not my problem, how I'm going to support them. And how, well, they'll be collectors. This is heavy duty stuff. And some people feel in the Torah world that this person who had a reputation of going a little too far. Obviously, everything is a balance. He obviously felt, no, Torah, this is what the Torah wants. Torah doesn't want hefkeres. Torah wants it to be, you know, it should be, no. I can tell you a whole bunch of crazy stories, but it's not really good to say these things publicly. Some of these stories like this. But in any event, David, so obviously everything is a balance. This is mamish. This pasuk, the way the mitzvah stuff is doing the pshat, the pasuk is really explosive. It's explosive. What he's saying over here is, I'm asking your Kadosh Baruch Hu to have rachmanis upon the entire Klal Yisrael, because I am Klal Yisrael. I, David, am the Melech. The lave of the Melech is the lave of the Am. Okay, so that's a very lofty spiritual concept. You can't say that about a head of state in the modern era. But David HaMelech, David, the holy David HaMelech, that's right, David's neshama encompassed the whole Klal Yisrael. Today, a Rebbe, and a Hasidish Rebbe. I don't know if we have Rebbes like this anymore today, but back in the day, they were very holy, holy, sacred Rebbes, and he had a following, and his followers, he was able to understand them and carry every one of his Hasidim in his heart. That once you get to a point where there are too many of them, there's a limit to how the bus can only hold that number of people. What's the song over here say? Okay? Occupancy by more than 94 persons is dangerous and unlawful. A Rebbe, to take it on board, take responsibility for Hasidim more than a certain number is dangerous and unlawful. So take on 200. Okay, there's a certain degree of how many people you can take responsibility for. There's a whole science, what is the maximum number of Talmidim you want to have in a class? How many Talmidim can a Rebbe really deal with responsibly? They say in the yeshivas, he can't really deal more than 20 students. Over 20, they fill up the classes because they need the tuitions. So they fill up the class, there's a rule, they put like your senior student, they'll chalish to get 30 kids in a class. 30 tuitions is a lot of money for the yeshiva. Many times they don't have to because they just can't, business is not good. They can't fill up the class. But you ask a Rebbe, the good Rebbe will tell you, once you get to 20, it's out of control. You really can't, a Rebbe who really cares about his Talmidim and is worried about them, can't really keep cheshbon of where his Talmidim are holding and guide them once you get more than 20 in a high school, in an elementary school. Now you're dealing with a Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you're dealing with the Satmar Rav. How many chassidim did the Satmar Rav have when the Satmar Rav? It was a small number. Today, how many Satmar chassidim are there? It's staggering. It's not shaykh. You see these with the Ger Rebbe or the Ger. It's staggering. You can't be a Rebbe for who might have said, right? You can't be a Rebbe for 20,000 people? Can you really do that? Is that a fair to your Hasidim? Is that really fair? Where you don't know from no one, they don't know from you, and it's just you become a political leader making decisions and a lot of it. Is that a Rebbe? Is that what it's all about?
They said about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, other Rebbes, amazingly, 3 years later they remembered your name and they remembered it.
So they were very unique people. So in the Hanami, first of all, Lubavitcher Rebbe, the world was a fraction of the size it is today, the Jewish population. And number two, he was a very unusual person. He had koiches ha-nefesh that we don't see people today have those type of koiches ha-nefesh. He was able to be kollel five times the amount. But it also, by him, also comes to a certain point where, ad kan. And there's certain rashivas. I saw this in my own eyes. I saw this certain, now, there's certain rashivas. They're able to take on a certain critical mass of people. But once you get to a certain point, then the whole institution turns into a political institution. The President of the United States knows the name of every single citizen in America, 320 million people. He doesn't even know the name of his own wife. He doesn't know nothing. Garnished. So it doesn't matter. It's a political institution. Gesundheit. Is that what a Rebbe is? It's a political institution? Or a Rebbe is someone that you're entitled to have a connection to. You have a Rav, a Rosh Hashiva. There's a certain entitlement. You go to a big yeshiva where there's 1,000 talmidim. So what? So there's a rashi. He gives a shir klali, and he has a little small people. Well, I mean, what is this? That is that really what it's all about? Is that what it's all about? Who am I to say? That's the way it is today, and that's how the world is today. But David over here says this yisoid hoshiyim min chavaneni, and the truth is every single person in their orbit, in their community, in their family, people rely on you. You need to be there. You just need to be there. You ever go to these weddings? I hardly ever go to a wedding now. Lately, I've gone to a wedding here and there, and there are people that, what are you doing here? What is this person doing here? You're wasting your time. What are you doing here? The answer is, this person that got married, or the parents, they need him. They need him. And he just has to be present. He has to be there. They rely upon him. In their little orbit, there's a relationship. And the presence means everything. Those people, when they say this pasuk, and they say, Elokai nitzor lishoni meira, usavosai midaber mimra v'lem kalolai nafshi sidam, v'nafshi kefer lakoltia, at the end of their shmones, when they say, l'mangi choltsun yididech, it is a disclaimer. Everything that I said b'loshon yachid is going for all of those people to whom I'm going to go make that trip and spend 2 hours traveling to be there when their child gets married. Because those people rely upon me. If I am here tonight at this wedding because I have to be here for that person, that means there's a relationship. That person needs me to be here. That's why I'm here. Because he needs me to be here, just to be present at this moment. So that means that when I say the Shemona Erev, I'm coming here, spending 2 hours each way to be here for half an hour or for an hour. That means that when I say the Shemona Esrei and I say Hoshia Yimincha va'anei ni is not me. It means the Yedidecha. What I'm saying over here, I'm praying for my people. Every person is a melech in his castle. Every person has a family, has friends, has people on different madrigals that rely upon him. And the pasuk, by changing from yididecha to va'aneni, the way the Mitzvot Tavit explains it, is an explosive idea, and it's a practical idea, because we actually do this in the Shemona Esrei after you finish Elokai Nitzor. Okay, enough said.
I'd like to mention something else. There are three psukim here.
Yeah.
Hey, Vav, Zayin.
Okay.
He's talking about Eita Amcha Kasha and so forth.
Okay.
And then he goes Natata Lirei Echa, Yirei Shamayim.
Okay.
Liyira. And then he goes to Yedidecha, from Amcha, Yireecha, Yedidecha. And it's amazing, he puts himself with Yedidecha. I am Yedid Hashem.
Okay.
Yedid Hashem. This is what he claims here. By saying that, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make sure that I am your friend. And by the way, he called Shlomo had another name, Shlomo HaMelech, Yedidya.
Right.
He called him also Yedid. So,
you want to say friend to his child.
The Tahalich from Amcha, Yerecha, and Yedidecha, and then I'm there.
He's alluding that Hashem should save his child. Yididecha means he's alluding, even though it's Loshen Rabbi, his child, Shlomo. He's praying for his children, for the continuation of the Malchus. Malchus. The Rambam, everyone talks about this Rambam. The Rambam says that Mashiach has to be a descendant, not just of David, of Shlomo. David had 18 wives. And he had children from all them. So David's descendants are all over the place. Probably everyone over here is a descendant of David. David's children are all over the place. Yet, the Melech HaMashiach, the Rambam says, can only come through a descendant of Shlomo. There is the Shev, Lo Yosur Shev, where does it say that? Lo Yosur Shev mi Yehuda. U'mechoyk mi beit Levi yas mi Yehuda. And Hashem Pravet David is going to be the Melech. And David gave over the next generation, he gave it over to Shlomo, and Shlomo to Rechavim. And then it went down the line. But there were times when you know, there were problems. And indeed, it didn't always go to a son. I don't remember all the details, but there were times when it shifted to a cousin, if I'm not mistaken. There were times that it went from a son to another, from going up a generation. So what's the big deal if it goes now to another, switches to a cousin, going back to one of David's other 17 wives? No. The Rambam says it must come from a descendant of Shlomo HaMelech. That is a critical. Shlomo HaMelech also, his personal yichus also is critical to Melech HaMashiach. It's not just David. It's David and Shlomo. And you don't really see that in the Nusach HaTfilah. You know, when you talk about Melech HaMashiach, David. David Melech Yishal. No, it's Shlomo. The Tzemach David, Meheras HaTzmiach. The Tzemach David, to a degree, is Shlomo. So you're saying something, you're saying, Yedidya, Shlomo HaMelech was called Yedidya. And you're saying there's an illusion over here Leman yichol tzun yididecha. Yididecha, okay, it's beloshen rabim, all of your beloved, but the fact that he's choosing the word yididecha and Shlomo Melch is called yididya, yididya, you're saying an idea, it's like a remez that Hashem should save the line of yichos of David, of Shlomo HaMelech. That's what they say about the Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was deathly ill. And Yeshaya went to visit him. And Yeshaya said to him, Yeshaya, you're going to die. Why are you going to die? Because you didn't get married. You didn't get married and have children. So he said, there's nothing I can do about that. Because I see that I'm going to have Menashe. I see I'm going to have Omoin. So therefore, it's not Kedai. So he says, "V'chivshed rachmon olamolach." So the question is, does this mean that every person that doesn't get married and have children, that means they're gonna go to Gehenna? They're gonna die? Maybe, maybe. Who's not to say? I remember seeing once. I can't remember where I saw this. Is that
the Chazal say because he tried to play God? In other words, he
right. Okay, there are many answers. Right.
Because he saw the future. So what are you? You know.
Right. Okay, so but the question, can we extrapolate from that to put...
Are you going to say the Chazon Ish is going to go to...
Exactly. No, but Chazon, told me the people didn't have a choice. So I don't remember where I saw it. Right? Can you extrapolate from this, Taina, on Shlomo HaMelech, I'm sorry, on Chizkiyahu, for every single person? And the answer, again, this is all, you know, all subject to interpretation, is no. The situation there was... That he was the last person in line for the yichus of Shlomo HaMelech, David u Shlomo. If he, after he was, what was Chizkiyahu thinking? He was thinking, listen, after I, who's going to take over the Malchus? After Chizkiyahu died, who's going to take over him? So I guess a nephew, a brother, a brother, a nephew, someone else, a cousin. No. There was no one left. There was no one eligible. Maybe there would be. There was no one eligible to continue the line of Malchus of David Shlomo. It would have to now go to another member of maybe even David, but not from the line of Shlomo. It wasn't a private matter. Oh, you don't have children. You're going to go to Gehenna. We're dealing with the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. And after you die, there is no one that is eligible from this line to become the next melech. We need a yoresh in this line. Okay, let's go further. Let's go to the next part. We'll come back to this again when we do the Rashi. Another part we'll do the Mitzvot David over here. Pasik Ches in the Mitzvot David on page 524. Hashem has spoken b'kodesh. What does kodesh mean? Ruach, it means asher elois, I will rejoice v'esmach b'malchusi v'emshol b'mshol rov, and I will rule with dominion, with power, with authority. Now, there's a lot going on over here, and what he says is a mouthful over there. Elokim diber b'kodesh, ruach hakodesh, and then he says al yidei nevi'ov. That's an explosive statement, because we are very much influenced by the Radak. We have to see what's over here exactly. That there's a very big difference between a navi and a not a navi. Someone who is not a navi talks with ruach hakodesh. A navi speaks with prophecy. They're mutually exclusive. Hayluchud v'hayluchud. All of the books, there are two different sections. There's Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Why is Sefer Tehillim called in Ksuvim? David was not a Navi? It's not so simple to say that he wasn't a Navi. What about Shlomo wasn't a Navi? I mean, why are the words of David, that David said, you know, let's talk about Shiras David. Shiras David appears in two places. Shiras David appears in the very end of Shmuel, and we only lane on Shabbos Nevi'im. We never lane Kesuvim except for the Megillus. We never lane because we only lane from the prophets, the Nevi'im. So we lane Shiras David, the Haftorah, on Shvi Shol Pesach, we lane Shiras David. It's the very, very end of Sefer Shmuel. But guess what? We learned it together here. Shiras David appears kimat, word for word, with very few minor differences in Sefer Tehillim. And it's in Ksuvim. So what's the chiluk? What's the chiluk between... why is it appear in Kesuvim and appear in Nevi'im? So the answer lies is that there is two different... what's the difference between Ksuvim and Nevi'im? So there are many different ideas. One idea basically is that Nevi'im, it was delivered as a speech. Ksuvim, it was never spoken. It was written as a book. Everyone knows that the way you deliver a speech, a rabbi, when he writes his memoirs, writes his drashas, the way you write up a drasha that you've delivered is not the way you deliver the drasha. It's a different vocabulary. It's a different expression. It's a different delivery method, different speech when you speak versus when you put that speech in writing in book form. Book form is very different. You have to adapt a public address into a presentation that is in book form. That's the difference between the Sifrei Nevi'im and the Sifrei Kesuvim. The Sifrei Nevi'im is basically, it's only because today, those days they didn't have Torah anytime. So the only way they can record speeches is by writing it down. But it's written as a public address. Whereas Kesuvim is written as a book, in book form. And we happen to read some of the Ksuvim, the Megillahs. We're reading, but we read it, but really it's a Nigeris. Don't we always say that? Megillah says it's Nigeris. This is not a speech. This is a letter. You're reading a letter. This is not meant to be read. It's not meant to be spoken. It's meant to be read. The din of Shemea Ko'ine on Megillas Esther is a whole different world. The dinim of Kriya for the Megillah and what do we already learn? We only learn the Chumash Megillahs, and that's the whole question. You make a bracha, you don't make a bracha, but is it a chiv? Is that a chiv? Megillas Esther, it stands out. Because you're not supposed to read this publicly. You're not supposed to speak it publicly. It's a letter. A letter you read. And here we get up and we read the letter. When you read the letter, it takes on a whole different world of halacha. Whereas the Nevi'im are speeches. It is meant to be spoken. It's not meant to be read. It's meant to be spoken.
Ah, but historically, if you put it, because
Divrei Hayamim goes past Megillas Esther. Divrei Hayam is the end of Nevi'im, and Divrei Hayamim, doesn't go. What am I saying?
Ezra is Ksuvim.
But in Kesuvim we're going backwards. What is in Kesuvim? We're going backwards.
Right. Yeah, so
there is Tehillim.
It's not a matter
of chronology. It's not a matter of chronology because there are things in Nevi'im which go to the very, very end. Say for Yirmiyah takes you to the very, very end of the era. Yechezkel, also later, and then what's in Ksuvim goes back to earlier times. The Megillas Esther stops before what it says in what it mentions in
Sefer.
But Ezra is part of Ksuvim.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, Megillas Esther is before Ezra.
Okay, I'm not thinking of the good example. I'm not thinking of the good example, but it's not a matter of chronology. It's look at Tehillah. You have Tehillah. Exactly. It's an entirely different dimension of spirituality. There's something called Ruach HaKodesh, and there's something called prophecy. Hayluchud v'hayluchud. It's completely different world. So in the Mitzvah of it over here, it says, Elokim dibe b'kotshoy, Hashem spoke b'kotshoy, that I, David, would one day be the king, and I will rule over Klal Yisrael, and therefore Eloizai will rejoice. Achalka, we'll go further in a moment, I'll give out portions. The Mitzvah David over here is mixing up two things which ordinarily are very delicate, and you don't ordinarily like to mix these two things up. Is he trying to be precise here, or is he just throwing around words? It's more Mustavir, he's just throwing around words. He doesn't mean it to be perfectly precise. Because over here he says, B'kotshoy, Kotshoy over here, refers to Ruach HaKodesh, and then he says, Hashem spoke al yidei his prophets. When you speak through your prophets, that's prophecy. That's not Ruach HaKodesh. A prophet prophesizes. A prophet doesn't generally say things with Ruach HaKodesh. If you have earned the title of being a prophet, you don't downgrade the prophet. Oh, only Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, someone that's the CEO of the company. Someone that's the CEO of the company doesn't come to unclog. If you have a plumbing company, and someone works his way all the way up to be the CEO, he's not going to be the one that's going to come to unclog your toilet. Okay, you don't take a person that reaches the spitz of being a Navi, whose words are called Nevuah, and say, oh, he said over words with Ruach HaKodesh. That's an insult. You're downgrading him to a lower level. So the Mitzvah of he's saying that. He's saying just that. He says, Baruch HaKodesh, Dibur Al Yidei Neviyav Asher Eloiz, that what did the prophet say about me? The prophet said about me that I will be the Melech. Therefore, I now will rejoice. Eloiz, Lashon of Aliza. Anyone know a person by the name of Aliza?
Yeah, right.
Here's the word.
What times you have in all of the word Aliza or Eloza?
Eloza ve'esmach b'malchusi, and will rejoice in my malchus. I will rejoice in my. I will pray. I will be happy. I will rejoice in my malchus, and I will rule with authority. Next page, page number 526. Achalika, mikoymois huumois achalik li Yisrael va'amadid lohem lachalokim. This is really powerful stuff of you. Go, don't show this to the goyim. David says, I will rule the world and I will redistribute it. I will redistribute the world. You can have this part of Australia. You can have this part of Canada. You can have the western coast of the United States. I will, the mikoymois huumois, I, David, will rule the world. I will rule the world and divide it up to the nations of the world that I like. And those I do not like will be dismissed. I will divide up amongst Klal Yisrael. Where does it say this? Where do you ever see over here a place? The Mekoymois of the Umois. You have to think. We have Bereshis, the first Rashi, that Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. The whole world is going to be divided by the Melech of Yisrael. He's going to go and say, okay, Satmar, you can have the west coast of the United States of America. The Litvaks, you go down to the South Pole.
The west coast nice happens to be Lubavitch.
People live in the South Pole? Sure. Here by the North Pole, here by the South Pole. What's doing down south?
Only government employees live down there.
The South Pole? What country? What country is in the South Pole?
A lot of countries. They all divided up the land base.
Who owns the North Pole? Who's
it's nice.
I don't know any of this. All right, but
Polish people.
Polish people. Polish people. How do they get there? So the question over here. This is the. What is he saying over here? He's saying over here new things we never heard before. Is that the Melech of Yisrael is going to divide up the world and slice off different segments to members of Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael belongs in one place only. They belong in Eretz Yisrael. What is the Umay Sa'olam doing, taking portions of the world, being giving slices of the world by the Melech HaMashiach? I don't know what this means. Pasuk test, Li Gilad, Ki Ra Baruch Kosher Shebimei Rechavam Yuchlak Malchus Yisrael. The Omar, the Yomayu Kulam Tachas Memshalti, and he says, in my day, Li. So here again, this is very heavy, heavy stuff. David HaMelech Yisrael Ruach HaKodesh, the day will come when his Malchus will split. He saw what's going to happen with Rechavam and Yeravam ben Nevat. The Malchus, and if they're going to split, and Gilad is going to be collateral damage of this split. So he said, in the meantime, until that happens, Li Gilad. Gilad is still mine. It's still under my authority. Li Gilad. Next. So, the Amek Sukkos. Over here, it's very disappointing. He doesn't explain over here what it means. The depth, the Amek means the valley. I'm assuming it's the valley. The valley of Sukkot is the name of the place. Okay, Li Gilad V'li Menashe V'Ephraim. V'li Menashe V'Ephraim Ma'oz Roshi Mitzudos. Chayzek L'Roshi L'Shamroi Minoev. I'm going to guard the territory of Ephraim. Mechayki and Yehuda Mechayki Yusodim Shalid will be my princes. V'Nichnoim Eli. They will be humbled before me. So David HaMelech, this passage over here is telling us that he is the prophets, really namely Shmuel, have declared that David will be the Melech of Klal Yisrael, and for that matter, the Melech of the world. He'll divide up the entire world and give off slices of parts of the world to members of Klal Yisrael. And in the meantime, until it splits, he will be in control of all of these parts of the world. Let's just review here. We learn this before we see the Rashi's. We spent a lot of time on that. Then he says, Elokim did v'kotshoi, Hashem, you have spoken through your prophets. And the prophets have spoken with holy words, declaring that I will be the king. And thus, I, Eloiza, not only will I be the king, I will rejoice in my Malchus. And what will I do in my Malchus? I will conquer the world. And achalka shechem. Shechem means a portion. Shechem achad al achecha. Yaakov said to Yosef, I will give you an extra portion, a double portion. Doctor told me once, never ever eat a second portion of anything. Would you like a second portion of that delicious dish I've given you? Doctor told me, never in your life should you ever take a second portion. Once you take a second portion, you're finished. You're going to be overweight.
Not if it's properly.
Isn't Shem a shoulder?
Yes, it means that also. Multiple meanings, you're right. But in that Pashup Shan, that Pasuk means Shechem Achad Alachecha. Yaakov said to Yosef, I'm giving you a double portion. Ephraim and Menashe. Menashe, Ephraim are going to be considered to be two Shevatim. An extra 13 Shevatim in Klal Yisrael. Shechem Achad. Over here means also a portion. According to the Mitzvah of David over here, saying that he's going to divide the world into portions and dish out and give different members of Klal Yisrael chalakim in the world.
A portion.
Okay, achalka shechem. And he says here, at the Emek Sukkos Amadeh, I will measure the valley of Sukkos. It's the name of the place. The Mitzvah David did explain what this means in the previous page. Okay, well, let's go back to this stuff. It says, and this page over here, I will measure, okay? The Amek is the name of a place. The Valley of Sukkos, I will measure. I will calculate and measure and give it out to people that I like. In the meantime, until my Malchus is severed, until my Malchus is split, Li Gilad, V'li Menashe, V'Ephraim O'z Roshi, Ephraim is the stronghold of my head. This is some very, very mystical thing according to the Mitzvot. The Chayzik Lord, I'm going to guard it very carefully from my enemies. And Yehuda, the people of Yehuda, Mechoykiki, they are my lawgivers. What is it, my lawgivers? It doesn't really explain. Princes. He says the mitzvah means principle. That is the mitzvah. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi back on page 324 pasuk Zayin. Yecholsun yinotzlu meira'ah. Okay, this means over here to be, like we said, to be released. Chalitzas hanoal, to be released from evil, to be spared from harm. Hoshi mincha asher heshivosa achar. Now, David over here is saying that Hashem, I sense that you are not with me. You're not with me. Your hand has retreated. It has retreated. Return. May your...
It's Hashem's hand.
Right. David is saying to Hashem that I sense at this moment in time that you're not with me.
What I'm reading here, that Rashi is saying Hashem pulled back his hand.
Right. And David is begging, return it.
Return it.
Return it. Return it. At this moment, David is saying that I sense that our relationship has chilled. And you're not fighting my battles. You've pulled back your right hand, the hand of war, of might. Hashem, return it. Let's, like, chadesh yomeinu kikedem. Come back, let your right hand come back, and let's be buddy-buddy and fight my battles. Asher, which heshivoisa ochor, you have retreated. I ask you now to return. Behischazek oyveim aleim. David said this. When did David say this? When David sensed he was in trouble. When David's enemies were overcoming him. Behischazek oyveim aleim. When the enemies were overcoming him, he's now asking Hashem to restore va'aneni and answer me. Ki im ta'aneni. Because if you will answer me, Kiim Ta'aneni, if you will answer, 1 second, the computer over here keeps on going on and off. Okay, Kiim Vaneni, Kiim Ta'aneni. Now he's putting the pasuk together. Kiim Ta'aneni, Yicholzuchem Shani Milcham B'Shvilam. If you will answer me, Hashem, then, now see, this kid, then the Yicholzuchem, why? Sha'ani nilcham bishvilam, because I will then fight for them. And notice what Rashi is saying is very different than what we spent a half an hour on today, what the Mitzudos David is saying. Or at least the way we interpreted the Mitzudos David. We interpret the Mitzudos David as more of the lave of the Melech is the lave of Klal Yisrael. Rashi is not saying that. Rashi, what he is saying is that if you will be with me, then I will have the strength to go fight their battles. Klal Yisrael at this moment is in a matzav of sakana. They need a general. They need someone, a warrior, to go fight for them. I'm not going to go fight unless the Shekhin is with me. If I don't sense that you're at my side, and you're at my side, then if I'm going to go to battle, I'm going to get killed. So what's the purpose? But if you will, Hoshir Yemin Chavaneini, if you will restore your right hand and be at my right side and be at my side and be with me and answer me and answer me in restoring our relationship where the Shekhinah will be resting upon me, then I'll be able to do my job and fight for the people and go out to the battlefield and fight for them. So Leman Yicholson, so Hoshir Yemin Chavaneini, you have to read the pasuk entirely backwards. Restore your right hand and answer me. What? Answer me what? To be with me, then I will be able leman yecholtzun yididecha to fight for the people, to release them from their tzaros. Pasuk ches elokim diber bekotcho she yikabetz hagolios v'zari yimshlu bohem. Hashem has spoken through His holy ones that they will one day be kibbutz goliyos, and they will be a melech hamashiach. And v'zari yimshlu bochem, and my seed, David, the descendant of David, tzemach David, David acher, elokim diber b'kodsho, she'yeh melech aleim, Hashem has spoken that I will be the melech. So the second interpretation of Rashi is what we learned in the Mitzudos David. The David said that the prophets have already predicted I will be the melech, but his first interpretation is describing over here Yimoyes HaMashiach, in the next page, Eloiza, I will rejoice, Bishuas, in Hashem's salvation. Elokim Diber B'Kodsho, Le'ozreini, Hashem has spoken, now he's repeating himself, Beperish Acher Matzasi. Over here, Rashi, over here, saying another parish, I found the following. Elokim dibe v'kot shoy le'azrein, he's going to help me. Kiddushim says in the pasuk, ki b'yad David avdi yoshia es ami Yisrael. Achalik oshchem, achalik lochem, chelik b'nichse oyveyem. I will give out portions in the assets of oyveyem, their enemies. Ve'emek sukois amadeit. Sukois ze eini yoidea me'ezo umahi. I do not know where this location is. And it says, Lu yodati, sukos shabohu lo Yisrael. Perhaps yodati. Maybe I do know. Okay, then Rashi says very strange. Rashi first he says I don't know. Eini yodea meiza umahi. Then he says lu yodati. Maybe I do know. Is that how they translate in English? Lu yodati.
However, this I do know.
Lu, okay, so you're saying better. Rav Mordechai is saying better. Lu, but this I do know. I don't know exactly where this place, but this I do know, that there is a sukkos in the story of the Exodus. Lu yodati. Sukkos shabo lo yishol kishnosu yishol miram seis. Vayavo sukkosa. They came to sukkosa when they left Egypt. Heichon, I do know where it is. Hayisi. Lu yodati sukos shabo lo yishol kishnosu yishol mimeram says heichon hu then hayisim beforeish esadav. I said Lu yodati is if I did know where that place is, then we can figure out what this pasuk really means. So what I'm saying over here is that the sukos over here is the same sukos as the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. They went from Ramses sukosa, and if only we knew where that location was, then we would be able to study this section, what happened in that place, and then we'll be able to have a greater insight into what David here is saying. But he does seem to say that as a fact that it's the same sukkos as the place where the first stop in Yitzias Mitzrayim. But you notice over here there's a metaphor, and the metaphor over here is that according to the interpretation that with the kibbutz Goliath, there's going to be a tukufa, times of Mashiach, of kibbutz Goliath, it's going to parallel the nes of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yeah. Every little prat. And just like when Klal Yisrael there, they all, where was the staging area when they left Egypt? Ramses. They all went, Moshe made an announcement, we're leaving. Everyone get on the bus. Where is the bus pickup? Ramses. Get to Ramses. Ramses is the location from where we will depart. Kids, they go to camp. Everyone has to go to the bus. Where's the bus? The cemetery. Everyone get to the cemetery at 9 o'clock. The bus is leaving 9 o'clock in the cemetery. This is the staging area of our departure. Ramses was this, the Jews lived all over Egypt, all over the place. There's a lot of discussion. How are they able to get in the middle of the night, in the morning, so quickly, be'etzem hayoyim hazeh, from dawn, it was 6 hours to get from the outskirts, from the Catskills, from Muncie and Lakewood. How was Klal Yisrael able to get from Muncie and Lakewood, with all the traffic, to Ramses in a short period of time? Because Ramses was where the Anane HaKovod and the Amud Eish were present, and it was going to guide them on their departure. It was the staging area. And then they all got there and they began to travel. What was the first stop? Sukkos. So Sukkos was the first stop in their departure. And if you want to connect the dots, Maise Avay Simin Labanim, and just like our Yitzias Mitzrayim, our first stop was Sukkos, he's alluding that Eloiza, I will rejoice. If according to Rashi's first interpretation, we're talking the Geula, I will rejoice at the time of redemption. Achaluka Shechem, I will give out portions. What are you giving out? What are you giving out? Matzos? When they left, lo yachlu lehismameh v'gam tzeda lo osu lohem. There were no provisions. Right, that's what it says. V'gam tzeda. What does it say, Rami? V'gam tzeda. V'gam tzeda.
Oh, v'gam tzeda osulahem.
Osulahem. Tzeda, provisions.
Loy
osulahem. Loy osulahem. Okay, loy osulahem. So how do they survive? man. Hashem gave them the man. Okay, there was man. So what does it mean over here? Chalko Shechem. Mitzudah Stavit says something very difficult. In the times of Mishnah, the time will come, either now or before. According to the Mitzudah, it sounds like even now, I'm going to conquer the territory. I'm going to fight battles. And after I succeed in battle, I'm going to slice up the land and give it out prizes to my warriors. According to them, so he's dealing over here in the time of David. This during his lifetime, David is going to become the king, and he's going to go fight battles. Aram Tzoiva. He went, he conquered parts, territory, winning part of Eretz Yisrael, Aram Tzoiva, Kibush Yachid. And after he conquered, he sliced up the land, a big map. You were very good, you're a good warrior, you get this land, you get this. Achal Kashachem, and there's a place called the Emek Sukkos. They were fighting a battle in Emek Sukkos. Amadeit. You know what? We're going to measure it, and we're going to give prizes to the different warriors who were helpful in fighting these battles in the lifetime of David. That's pretty much. And in the meantime, Li Gilad. Even though I know the day is going to come when Rechavam, the Malchus, will split, but in the meantime, it's mine, Li Menashe, and the territory of Ephraim. I'm going to fight for to make sure it stays in my possession. And Yehuda Mechagai. According to the Mitzvah David, we are describing an event that happened where David says. He's like talking about his malchus in his lifetime. In his lifetime. Let me just get through this hurdle with my difficulty with Aram Tzoiva, with Aram Naharayim, with Edom. Hashem, help me get over the hump. And after I get over the hump, we're going to fight some good battles. I'm going to divide up the spoils of war. And I'm going to preserve the integrity of Klal Yisrael and Shalom Al Yisrael. Rashi says, very nice. That's a very nice pshat. But this also is a prophecy for Yemos HaMashiach. Yemos HaMashiach, the time of Kibbutz Goliath. And I'm not going to be around, but my descendants are going to be around, the Malchus of David, and there's going to be an incredible Kibbutz Goliath coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And what's going to happen then is going to be exactly the way it happened at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then we're going to go to Sukkos. Mm-hmm. Just like they went from Ramses to Sukkos, we're going to go to Sukkos. It might be a different Sukkos, but it's going to be the same concept. And I'm going to give out provisions. What provisions? I don't know. But I'm assuming that just like when they left the Yetzias Mitzrayim, Moshe, they gave out mon, they gave out slav, they gave out crowns, the karnei hoid, and we're going to make measurements, amadeid. These are very mystical things which need to be defined.
Did Mon start right away?
What? No, Mon did not start right away. 30 days, 30 days later. It took 30 days to get Mon. I don't know exactly. Machloikis. Was it Pesach Sheni? Was it the Steven Rashi? Was it on the 18th? It was on Lag Ba'omer? Or was it on Pesach Sheni? There's two Mamori Chazal. One says that the Mon began on Pesach Sheni. No, not Pesach. Yeah, right. One says the next day. The day after Pesach, the 15th day of Iyar, and there's another Chazal that says that it came out on the 18th day of Iyar, which is basically Lag BaOmer. The month began from Lag BaOmer. So whatever the point is, but over here, the Rashi opens up one piece of the puzzle. The fact that he says that Sukkos is the same Sukkos as they went from Ramses to Sukkos, and Rashi says that this passage is a Nevuah for Kibbutz Goliath. So once we already opened up this mystery by acknowledging that there's a parallel between leaving Kibbutz Goliath and Yetzias Mitzrayim Netziav and leaving from Ramses to Sukkos, we're coming now to make parallels in the Geula Hasida to what happened at Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that now is going to force us to relearn, to use these words of this pasuk as a commentary of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And now you're challenged to go back and read Parashas B'Shalach and show me where in Parashas B'Shalach you can find the words Achalukos Shechem, that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the Goyal Rishon, was giving out portions to the Jewish people. Show me where in the story of Ahi B'Shalach Paro where you find Amadeit. There were measurements being made in Sukkos. Because once Rashi told us that this over here is a parallel to Yetzias Mitzrayim, how it's Kibbutz Goliath, And sukkos, gezeirah shavah, sukkos, it has to be that the other portions of this section are also parallel to what happened at the time of Yetzias Mishraim because of the principle of ma'is avos simul labanim. All right, tomorrow, we have to stop over here, it's too late, tomorrow we'll continue. Afterwards, I want to spend some time learning about the sugya and the massive, massive sugya of mechiras chametz to a goy. The minug kadmon in Klal Yisrael to sell your chametz to a Gentile. This goes back to the time of the Psikta. The Psikta is a medrash. And the medrash there says the feirish that you should sell your chametz to a goy, and it's a world of halacha and agada to understand what is mechiras chametz all about.
Alvin Bragg doesn't the scum of the earth, he doesn't indict, but Trump he indicts.
Salary. Yeah.
One lady said to me, she had never sold it before, but after
I had the 10 models in my house.
But a lot of people, great prices down. Everybody sold.
Okay, let's begin. Let's learn about Mechira.